Today and tomorrow are going to be a really special conversation that I had with my soul sister, Season. I recorded it when I was visiting her in Tennessee a couple weeks ago, and it's about this testimony of this special friendship that God gave us that I'm so thankful for. And so today and tomorrow, we're going to be talking all about friendship and how to honor God in our friendships. Stay tuned.
Do you sometimes doubt if you're truly hearing God's voice or if it's really your own? Or have you been in a season where it feels like he's completely silent? Have you been praying for a way to learn how to hear his voice more clearly? Hey friends, I'm Rachel, host of the Hearing Jesus podcast. If you are ready to grow in your faith and to confidently step into your identity in Christ, then join me as we dig deep into God's word so you can learn to live out your faith in your everyday life.
Joy is for you. Welcome to the Joybringer podcast. The world is full of uncertainties, difficulty, and pain. It needs joy, and you and I can bring it, but we can't bring what we don't have. I'm so glad you've joined me today. Let's grab hold of joy and bring it everywhere we go. Hey, I'm Season. This is the Joybringer podcast, and I'm grateful that you are with me, friend. And I'm really grateful to have my live and in person. This never really happens.
No, I'm so glad to be here and so glad to be recording a podcast together. It's like a dream come true.
I know. This is my friend, Rachel Grohl. You may know her if you listen to an incredible podcast called the Hearing Jesus podcast. You and many, many other people on the planet listen every day to Rachel give insight and wisdom and truth from the word. If you have not listened to it, go right now. You could just pause it, go into whatever you're listening to, follow Hearing Jesus podcast, and be blessed to spend, what, 20 minutes a day?
Yeah, about.
With my soul friend, Rachel Grohl. You're the best.
Well, the feeling's mutual.
So, fun fact, Rachel and I met 6 months ago.
I think it's like 7 at this point.
Early October? Yeah. No, end of September.
Yeah.
November,
feels a lot
November,
longer
December,
than
January,
that.
February, March. Almost 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah. That's it does. It feels time. Like forever. And I knew that when I was going to talk about friendship this month, because fun fact, that's the Joybringer Challenge this month. We're talking all about friendship. And I knew that when I was going to address friendship, I had to have you on here.
Yeah, because I think we really quickly got to this heart level of friendship that we knew was such a special gift from the Lord.
Yeah.
And so it makes so much sense to talk about that within the context of friendship.
Yeah. And I think that the cry of my heart, I'll just truly. So I was in a community of people where I lived in San Diego my whole life. I was born and raised there. And, you know, when you're from a town and you become an adult and you go to work and you have a community and you know everybody in town and you have your people and you don't have to think about making new friends because you sort of just exist with the ones that you've always had. Mm-hmm. And if you find a new friend, it's a blessing. Well, then I met and married Chris Bowers and I moved an hour north, and that radically shifted my friendships because even though it was only an hour north, I just didn't see those people every day. And that was a hard thing to adjust to. But it wasn't as, I don't know, as painful as maybe it could have been because I went from being single with a whole bunch of friends to being married and an insta-mom of 3 kids. So my life like dramatically changed. And I moved in to my husband's world, who had been born and raised in that community. So I instantly had like his friends, his family, and community. So there was a buffer there. But a few years ago, we picked up and moved to a state that we didn't really know anybody. We moved to Tennessee. And although we did know Chris's sister, who we lived with for a few months and then lived close by to, and that was an adjustment because I had this private expectation that she and I would immediately just be in each other's life every day. And that wasn't possible. She was running a business and doing all that. And then this is a hodgepodge of things, but then a few months after living in Tennessee without anybody, we found ourselves living in Providence, Rhode Island with zero people,
yeah.
like nobody. So I've been in a season for a long time of crying out to the Lord, like, I need some people.
Yeah.
And thank God for Marco Polo. You use Marco Polo? I know. Well, I know you use it. Yeah, we use it every day.
We use it every day.
But thank God, because that was a way for me to keep in touch with my friends who were not in in the same vicinity. But I really struggled with isolation and loneliness living in Rhode Island. And I had my husband, but he went to work every day. And I sat on the couch finishing my book, which is an extremely isolating thing to do. And then recording for the radio every day, which is also a very isolating thing to do. So I've been in a season for a few years of longing for my people, for a community of people where I could do life with. And oddly enough, you came into my life, but you don't live here.
I know. But, you know, thankfully the Lord was so gracious to put us in the same spot at the same time.
Yeah.
Because at the same time, I had been going through several life transitions that was leaving me with this deep ache for friendship. I had been on staff at a church for the better part of a decade. And like many other churches, post-pandemic, that looked a lot different. The church that I used to work at no longer exists. And so after you've been serving in a community for a long time, and then that community goes away, it's really difficult to think, where are my friendships? Because there's also this dynamic when you've been in ministry, like how many of these friendships are because I was their pastor?
Oh.
And how many of these friendships were because I was pouring into them and really not having people pour into me? It was just a really lonely season. And then of course I transitioned into writing and podcasting, which I'm
alone
in my room most of the time. And so same thing, my husband would go to work and my kids would go to school and I would find myself alone. And, you know, I think women, we're all created for community, but women, I think, are uniquely created with this deep heart level ache for friendships, other mm-hmm. female friendships that are life-giving and healthy. And mm-hmm. then also there was this element of emotional and spiritual health that I was really pursuing. And sometimes you outgrow your friendships. So even some of the friendships that I had were not necessarily serving me in the same way. And while I didn't completely leave them behind, the season that close friendship that we had was over. And so I also was really just praying for the Lord to just send me people that would fill me up, that I could pour into in a way that was life-giving. And so I think at the same time, we were separate, but we were praying very similar prayers.
Mm-hmm. And I think just to start out by saying, it's okay to tell the Lord what your heart longs for.
Yeah.
To tell the Lord, like, I'm looking for my people. I want my people. And that doesn't mean everyone you meet is going to fit that bill. And that's okay to recognize. When we finally moved back to Knoxville and decided we were going to start a coffee shop, that was a long transition of like finding a location, building it out and opening. And every day I would stand behind the counter and every person that would walk through the door, I was like, are you my people? Are you? And not because there was like a desperation there, but also I was excited that I was encountering new people. Mm-hmm. I think one of the first things I would recommend is get your butt in a vicinity of people yeah. so that you can meet people. Because
yeah.
people ask that all the time. How do you make friends? As an adult, it's a weird thing.
Yeah. And it requires vulnerability
yeah.
in a weird way, because it's not even like we're in the season where we have little kids where we can go to the playground or go to like a mommy group or something. And we're certainly not going to like bars and things like yeah. you would if you're trying to date when you're young or whatever. Not that I recommend that.
All right.
But my point is it's a weird thing to try to pursue friendships as an adult. And so But the flip side of that is you have to allow yourself to be vulnerable. You have to get outside. I had to leave my bedroom. I had to like go somewhere where I didn't know anybody and risk rejection, risk not finding your people. You know, that's a hard thing. Like you put yourself out there and that desire's there. But there's been a lot of times where I've walked in a room and I've left knowing that my people were not in the room.
Yeah.
And so that's why this friendship that God has given us feels like such a gift to me, because he knew exactly what I needed when he sent me.
Yeah. And weird, we live very far apart.
Right, right. I'm in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. And I'm in Knoxville. And that also didn't stop us from pursuing. Mm-hmm. And then we've made an effort to be in relationship every day, but also, you know, you're here now.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
like the coolest
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
So I would say you have to start by putting yourself out there and put yourself in an environment where you can meet people. Mm-hmm. I saw the cutest interaction pretty recently. I was standing behind the counter and this new mom walked in and she had her very, very early, like baby, like infant, just out of the womb baby in a stroller. And another woman walked in who I know has just had a baby. And they were standing at the counter at the same time. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you both have just, you know, popped out these new creatures. And they started talking. And the one girl goes, I know this is really awkward, but can we exchange phone numbers? Like, aww. She took a risk to ask this other new mom. And then they came in on a date. They both didn't have their babies. And they came, well, no, one did. And of course, the other mom, like, grabbed that baby real quick. Mm-hmm. She was like, give me that baby. Like, you go to the bathroom. I'm holding your baby. And I watched this girl, this young woman who had just had a baby, take a risk and essentially, like, ask the other girl out on a date. Yeah. Like, she goes, I know this is awkward, but would you be my friend? And I was so proud of her for taking that stand and putting herself out there. And they did. They showed up. They had a date at the coffee shop. And, you know, yes, it's chaos sometimes. The baby's crying and somebody's ordering coffee. But they took a step of intentionality toward risk and vulnerability and saying, I need a friend.
Well, and I think too, there was a lot of conversations where I was vulnerable, where I did try to pursue friendships, and they, not that there's anything wrong with those people, they were just not my people. Mm-hmm. And if I think over the course of even the last couple of years, to be in a place where I have seen the way that God has used you in my life and vice versa, mm-hmm. it's worth that vulnerability.
Totally.
It's worth the no's mm-hmm. to get to the yes.
Yeah. There's been plenty of people I've said, oh, hey, do you want to get lunch? And I will leave those encounters and going, well, that was lovely. That's just not my person. That's not, I like you. I might go out with you again, but I don't know if there was like a real love connection made. It's almost like dating mm-hmm. and that's okay. I think I spoke at the beginning of the month about really receiving true, deep, life-changing friendship from Jesus first.
Hey friends, I wanted to take a minute to share with you about one of our new partners, Five Lakes Coffee. For 20 years, Five Lakes has been helping people discover the magic of fresh roasted coffee. They craft roast in small batches, then ship direct so that you are getting the freshest and best tasting coffee. Five Lakes uses the highest quality specialty grade coffee beans from around the world. And let me tell you, we're kind of coffee snobs in my family, and their coffee has converted even my daughter, who is a barista. As a family-owned and family-friendly company, I love their mission. As believers, our family loves supporting other Christian companies, and one of the things I absolutely love about this company is that they believe in loving their neighbors, and they value being good stewards of what God has given them. My two favorites are the Signature Five Lakes Blend and Chris's Blend, because for Chris's Blend, they donate $1 per bag to Forgotten Children's Ministry in Honduras. And guess what? As a podcast listener, you get an exclusive 20% off your first order when you use the code Hearing Jesus. Head over to fivelakes.com and experience the joy of fresh roasted goodness today. Again, head to fivelakes.com and use code Hearing Jesus for 20% off your first order.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in Raw through your favorite podcast app.
And I realized that is so satisfying and so beautiful, and it healed my heart so that I could be a good friend. But also, the Lord wants us to have physical, real life, like in person friendships, and it's okay to kind of shop around for that.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing I think too, which I was not like this when I was younger, I'm okay with who I am.
Yeah.
Like, I'm settled in who the Lord made me to be, who He called me to be. I know I'm rough around the edges. Like, not everybody can handle me. But
you don't come across that way.
until you really get to know me. Behind the curtain.
It's the best.
But the thing about that is I'm at a point now where it's okay. And I recognize that I'm not going to be everybody's cup of tea. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to necessarily be the heart level friendship with everybody, and not changing myself to fit that mold because I'm desperate for friendship. Mm-hmm. Because eventually those friendships fall by the wayside because there is conflict, or, you know, there's intimidation or whatever it is. And so I just love this season of life where we're both kind of like, this is who I am. Mm-hmm. And it works in so many levels because we've kind of gone through so many different seasons of our lives where we're finally now at this place where, okay, like I am deeply settled in who God made me to be. And I'm going to find my people based on the authentic version of myself. Yes. Instead of the person that I think everybody else wants.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tempting sometimes to say, well, I think I like that person, but they're into things. And not that we can't learn and grow or try new things with friends, mm-hmm. but also, you know, if you're a bougie shopper and all you want to do is go to like fancy stores and spend money, that's not really who I am. So I'll pass, right? Like we can meet for coffee, but I don't want to go shopping with you. Yeah.
And also like I push my friends because I love you and I want you to be the best version of yourself and what God wants for you. And so like also realizing that true friendship doesn't avoid conflict.
Okay. Let's talk about this because I had a friend group that felt like it was their responsibility. I was probably 19. And they felt like it was their responsibility to, there was like an intervention one day to talk about maybe how much I cared about how much makeup I had on or what I looked like, what outfits I wore. And in the moment I was like, what? Now, maybe with some hindsight, I look back on that. I don't know. I can't see myself. I don't think that was ever
your heart.
My heart. I don't know why they did that, but I felt like maybe there was some jealousy, mm-hmm. not because of what I looked like. I wasn't that, I don't think I was that girl, but I was having some success in my life as a professional performer and other things. And I don't know where it came from, but sometimes we have these friends, you might have these friends that just want to like fix you mm-hmm. all the time. So there's the difference between iron sharpening iron and speaking life into someone and going, hey, you know, okay, we had an encounter the other day and I said something in a group of people and I felt something in my spirit, like, was I out of line? Mm-hmm. And when that was done, we walked into a room and I said, do I need to apologize to that person?
And I would have said yes. I didn't think that was the case. I think just because sometimes people don't receive the truth well doesn't necessarily mean you need to apologize for it. Sometimes that's between them and God. But I would have said
yes
in that moment, yes, absolutely,
right.
You do, if I felt that.
Yeah, because I value you. I think this is what I have said to my daughters forever, and I say this to other people, is we don't want to count everybody's opinion because everyone has one. So
they're like buttholes.
I knew you were going to say that. So
censor me.
Yeah, no. So if we count everyone's opinion, then there's just going to be piles of opinions everywhere.
Yeah.
But we want to weigh people's opinion. And so I give you heavy weight in my life because I trust you. I see your life. I know who you are. I see the depth in which your integrity runs, the wisdom, the choices that you make in your life. Your opinion weighs heavy. So if I wonder about a decision I'm making or if I need some advice, I'm going to go to you because I really weigh what you say holds weight in my life. I'm not going to allow people to speak into my life that I don't give weight to.
Yeah.
So when we have these friendships where they want to, you know, I don't know, try to fix you or tell you advice that maybe is counter to what you feel like the Lord is leading you. When Chris and I decided to get married, we'd known each other 10 weeks. Well, we decided to get married far before that. And there were many people who didn't get it. Mm-hmm. They didn't get it. And they talked about us and whatever. But we surrounded ourselves with wisdom and people who shared our value system. Mm-hmm. And when we got, you know, affirming response, they took us through the ringer and did some really intense premarital counseling. And they said, yeah, we affirm this. We think you're not making a crazy decision. We understand why you want to get married quickly, all that. Well, then we pulled the trigger and did it. But if we would have counted everyone's opinions around us, they would say things like, well, why don't you, you know, live together first? Or why would you mean you don't want to, for us, we made the choice to not have sex till we got married. And many people didn't understand that. Or, you know, why would you want to go and just like put yourself into the middle of this family? Like people didn't get it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't need to be counting their opinions.
Well, and the people that really knew you would get it.
Yeah.
And I think that was very similar for us. We met and married within 3 months.
Yeah.
And the people that were closest to us that I allowed into that space, they said, yeah, this makes sense.
Right.
But there was people that were more kind of on the outside that were very critical and hypercritical. And quite honestly, our marriage has outlasted many of ours, you know, 15 years later.
It's amazing when you have a quick like engagement or because they come out of the woodwork.
Oh yeah.
People are like, oh, I met and four dates later we got whatever. And it's fun to see the longevity of those people.
Yeah. And you know, my husband's grandparents, they met and married within a couple months and they were married 50 some years.
Yeah.
And so not that I'm saying that that's for everybody, but yet giving voice to people that are in that close space in your life and realizing that not everybody's opinion holds the same weight is really a valuable lesson.
Cause I've been asked that question. Like, how do you deal with a friend who just is constantly like, not tearing you down, but like picking at you? How do you deal with someone who is, you know, telling you what to do all the time? And I think that's the answer. You have to weigh, is this person spiritually mature? Is this person someone you want to be like? Is this person doing things in their own life that you find valuable or admirable? And if not, you can say, hey, thanks so much for your input. I'm going to pray about that.
Yeah. And I think it's also healthy to recognize that sometimes we outgrow our friendships.
Yeah.
Like, you know, as you continue to mature spiritually, emotionally, you know, and you get healthy or you can just continue to grow, not everybody's on that same trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes it's okay to recognize that and you bless them, but you keep going down that road and then pray for God to bring new people at that next level that you're in, because we're a testimony that he can and does do that.
Yeah.
And it's not that I've shut the door on previous friendships, but they have a different amount of weight in my life at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think you touched on something that I know that I talked about with my friend Heather, but I think it can't be overstated, is that you have the permission to end a friendship.
Yeah.
And that is hard.
It's a grief.
Yeah. So Heather and I talked about, you know, that I had a friend that we literally mutually decided to break up. Like, we'd been friends forever. And we just fought all the time. And it was strife. There was just so much strife in our friendship. And we would regularly ask the question, why are we still friends? And
like out loud?
Yes.
Wow.
I know. How healthy were we in our young 20s? I don't know. It was pretty wild. We weren't healthy as friends, but we could at least have this conversation. And every time we would say history, because we've been friends so long. And then eventually we said, that's not good enough. And we parted ways. And I don't think I could not speak for her, but we didn't do it with animosity and hatred. It just was like, you know what? I release you. We don't have to try to make this work anymore. And it was very healthy. But that didn't mean I didn't miss her.
Yeah.
There was another friend around that same time that, for reasons of extreme inappropriate behavior, we could no longer have each other in our lives. I needed to have, it was unsafe for her to be around. And that broke my heart. It was really, really sad.
Yeah.
Because she was like my sister. And there was incredible betrayal out of pain and wounding and unhealth. And there was boundaries crossed and crazy things happened. And she needed to be removed from my family. And that was really, really sad. And I grieved.
Yeah.
I grieved. And I still think fondly of her, because I know that what had happened was not in a healthy place that she would have made that decision.
Yeah.
She was broken and it was difficult. But grief in the loss of friendship, sometimes in our anger or in our, I don't know, pettiness, we just write it off and go, good, I don't want her in my life anyway, or whatever. But truly, we have to allow our hearts to be sad.
Okay, we're going to actually stop here for today. We're going to pick up the rest of this conversation tomorrow. Please come back, because you're not going to want to miss the rest of this conversation with one of my favorite people, Season Bowers from the Joybringer podcast. The Hearing Jesus podcast is so excited to partner with Compassion International. We believe in Compassion's mission to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. I've seen the impact myself through the letters and the updates that I've received as a sponsor. It's not just changing the lives of children, it's changing entire families, whole communities, always through the local church and always in Jesus' name. When you sponsor a child, you ensure access to quality education, medical checkups, healthy food, clean water, and most importantly, the love of Jesus, delivered through a church in their community because of a generous, caring sponsor like you. And you can speak life, love, and hope to your sponsored child through personal letters that you'll exchange. I hope you'll join me in sponsoring a child through Compassion today. All you have to do is pull out your phone, open up a text, and text Hearing Jesus to 83393. You'll get back a text with a picture of a child who is waiting for a sponsor and a link to sponsor that child. You can also go to compassion.com/hearingjesus to choose a boy or a girl to sponsor. When you sponsor a child, we will send you a copy of She Hears, Learning to Listen to Jesus, my Bible study, as a token of our thanks for investing in the life of a child. Thank you for joining me in sponsoring a child through Compassion today. Hey friends, if this podcast helped encourage, empower, or equip you in your walk with God, I would love it if you would head over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a review. That's the number one way you can support my show. You can also join our free Facebook community or Instagram page where I share inspirational tips, bonus content, resources, and prayer throughout the week. Hey, I want you to know I'm praying for you. Know that you are so loved. Keep going.